Guess what's back, ladies? Back again. Mm-hmm. Our social is back. Our Super Mama Social 2019. Tell a friend, we are back. Our fourth annual Super Mama Social on May 11th, 2019 in downtown LA. Join us for a day of self-care, fun, food, shopping, activities, and plenty of surprises for the entire family.
Get ready to be pampered, ladies. Meet and mingle with some of your most beloved members of our mom tribe and create long-lasting relationships with like-minded mamas from all walks of life. Get your tickets by clicking the Super Mama Social tab on supermamas.com. They're selling out fast. Así que pónganse las pilas, ladies.
See you there!
Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom. Mm-hmm. He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. Nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas!
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say that I want to thank you for all your wonderful energy surrounding me after last week's episode.
I know, that was crazy.
I could feel your healing vibes. Thank you, everyone.
But then again, a lot of people identified. They were like, yeah, that's right. They're like, that's exactly how truth. I feel. I'm like,
I know. All my girlfriends call me and they're like, I know exactly how you feel. You look exactly the same way. It's not fair.
I saw your husband. I was like,
No. It's not. Okay, so check this out. That weekend, I went to have dinner with a colleague who I'm working with, and I told him the same thing, obviously male counterpart, and I was having this conversation, and it's not a female thing. I think it's a parent thing.
I told you, it's a parent thing. Yeah. Like, we both feel that.
I hate playing the women card, but yeah, he said, no, girl, I feel the same way. And I get the same things, and I get the same response, but whatever. I still feel we got it worse.
We got it worse. So how was your weekend? It was Easter.
Oh yes. How was my weekend? I went to San Diego. Well, on Saturday I cleaned my closet.
Again?
No, I hadn't had a spring cleaning this season. And we're already in spring, right? It's April. Yeah. It's already spring.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a spring cleaning. It was one of those Marie Kondo cleansings. And I haven't done that in my closet since I first did it, which was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So I got everything out of my closet, like Marie Kondo's, I emptied it out, and man, I felt so accomplished at the end of the day. I did go to sleep like at 8 p.m. because I was just so exhausted and so tired, and I missed my friend's birthday party, which I also think that is like the lamest excuse and the oldest excuse in the book, like, oh my gosh, I fell asleep. Right?
But hashtag truth.
I didn't want to tell her that because she's going to be like, that bitch is lying. Like, I've used that so many times. Like, I'm so sorry. I just woke up. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, I totally missed your party. But I legit fell asleep at 8 p.m., which felt so great. And the next day, traveled to San Diego with my husband to meet his mom who lives there, who just had surgery. We went to eat at Claudette's restaurant.
Ooh.
Brunch at El Jardín. Went to the cutest stores in San Diego. I love San Diego.
I know.
I love San Diego.
I mean, I don't think we didn't really celebrate Easter like the American way growing up. Mm-mm. So it's just like
no,
a
to
weekend.
Me, yeah, no. To me, it's not.
But I realize
people like, are really into Easter.
There's stores that are closed. There's a lot of stores that are closed on Sunday. I didn't even know this. You know, my friend even rented like a jumper for the kids and everything. It was like a big old party. And I was so exhausted. I didn't want to do anything. I already had my Easter
yeah, you
egg
did
hunting
egg,
on,
yeah,
Thursday.
On Thursday, which my son could not stop talking about.
It was the best. It was freaking exhausting. I had 8 children and it was just my best friend and me. And it was exhausting. The next day I went to work during the morning and I took my kids to the aquarium in the afternoon, which is pretty cool that they have after hours. You should all go because mm-hmm. there's no one there. And on Saturday we are making it a tradition to go biking every morning. Mm-hmm. So we went biking again, 10 miles. And then we went to a birthday party in the afternoon and my husband were playing like cumbia and my husband was like, we haven't danced in a while. So we danced.
Wow.
I was so excited. Like I really, yesterday, I just didn't want to do anything. But my friend guilted me into going to her party because she said she bought extra food just because I told her I was coming. So I had to go.
To her Easter party?
To my friend's Easter party.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, I might go because I don't have any plans. And then I was like, I don't think I can go. I'm tired. And she was like, but I bought extra food. You better come. I was like, fine, I'll go. So I went for a little bit and I was really dragging my feet around. I was so tired. But I didn't realize how big it is. And did you know that the Easter bunny actually brings the kids the baskets? I thought the parents gave the baskets, but apparently it's like a Santa Claus thing where like they wake up and there's baskets that the Easter bunny brings with toys and stuff. I didn't even know this.
Well, I know that people give boxes to people. Like it's like a thing. I ended up buying a few things from this wonderful store I found in San Diego for my sister-in-law because
really?
she brought me like up Easter thing and I was
like an Easter bunny thing.
No, like yeah, she gave me just like a little candy and a little thing. And during brunch, she was remembering how, you know, my husband and her would spend Easter and how, you know, their parents just did a huge thing around Easter. Wow. And she said, hey, so like how was your Easter growing up? And I said, girl, like, I mean, I would, it's a thing in Mexico. We go to my aunt, my grandma's house every Sunday and we go to church and that's it. We eat bacalao and
we eat.
We eat Lisa, frijol con Lisa.
Which by the way, Anita cooked. And
yeah.
She gave me some.
I mean, basically it's surrounding food. Yeah. And in Oaxaca, they don't even make capirotada. I know that it's like a huge thing also in other parts of Mexico, but in Oaxaca, capirotada is not a thing. But it's just a normal Sunday with just food that's
cooked. I think in Mexico, we celebrate
that
Thursday and Friday,
yes.
Which was like Viernes Santo, Jueves Santo. That's what we celebrate.
But also the weekend before, Domingo de Palma is a huge thing in Oaxaca. Mm-hmm. And every, like, when we have the Santa Maritana, we have so many things that happen. But growing up, I never colored eggs. It wasn't a thing.
I don't even know the. I don't even understand the whole thing about the eggs and the bunny. Like, makes no sense.
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't really.
But
get
yeah,
it
was.
And then I didn't realize that everyone who has eggs puts candy inside.
There's candy.
So I'm like, wait a minute.
Like,
why
stickers,
are you?
Or I mean, like, they do stickers. Like they do money. They do toys. They do all sorts of things.
I guess I'm
going to
prepare a little bit more for next year.
I had no idea. I just, you know, it's a thing that, like I said, I had, you know, when I got there. And then the grandma got there to my friend's house. And the grandma also had baskets for the kids. And like, there's like a bunch of baskets running around. Like, you know, people are just giving each other baskets full of toys. And I'm
presents.
Like, I don't get it. I don't know. But I guess it's the gift of life.
Where's my basket, Paulina? Yeah, and then siblings give each other baskets. Where's my basket?
I gave your son a basket full of eggs.
With candy inside.
Hey, they were healthy candy. They were
Where's my basket? Where's my Easter basket?
I traigo un canasto, un pescador. But for real, I mean, it's something very new, even now. And I think the only tradition that I'm doing with my kids is the egg decorating. But that's nice. It. Like, we go to church, and then that was it. You know, I didn't really understand it until now. Then I was driving, and I saw a bunch of businesses that were closed yesterday. And I was like, wait, what? They're closed? Why? But like, it's Easter. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's not a tradition.
Next year, though. Next year. I'm stepping up my Easter game next year.
Next year, the Easter bunny's gonna come in the morning.
I know, it's like another thing.
It's like another thing for my kids, and like I have to, like, it's Santa Claus and like the fairy tooth fairy, and now the Easter bunny too. I'm like, Jesus.
Apparently, my husband's dad would dress up as a bunny and bring stuff to them.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, no, babe, you need to put your bunny outfit on next year.
Oh, is that what you posted that? My own bunny? Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't even know. I have no idea.
I'm like, you're gonna have to dress up next year. I am expecting more from you now that I know that you grew up with these traditions. And passing on my traditions, now your turn to pass on yours.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, you know, my husband and I are both Mexicans from
Mexico.
You guys are
imported.
Like, we're like, eh? Okay, let's just eat.
Yes, pretty much. So this week on the show.
This week.
We have the incredible Breezy, Brianna Valdez, founder, owner of Home State. Brianna opened Home State in December of 2013 in Los Feliz. She now has a second location in Highland Park. And in 2019, this year, she's opening up a third location in Playa Vista here in California. She's not a chef. She had zero experience opening up a business or running a business, but damn, she carved her way into the restaurant industry and just started building her dream.
Yeah, she's a boss.
She is incredible. And I think like every person who has a dream today and to opening some sort of business and telling themselves, I can't do this because I'm not that. She is really an example of how as long as you have a mission and a dream and a clear goal of what you want to do, nothing can stop you. So I love talking to her. She was incredible. We learned so much.
Yeah. And she's a triplet.
She's a triplet. I know. Crazy. That's the craziest one. Mm-hmm. Texas, for all of our Texans listening out there, this is your paisana. So without further ado, here is our interview with Brianna Valdez of Home State. Welcome, Brianna.
Welcome.
Breezy. Thank you. Another breezy. There are two breezies.
By the way, like, people call me Brianna all the time.
Really?
Like, they read my name and they just don't understand. And I don't know if they think I misspelled my name.
So, happens all the time.
So instead of calling me Breezia, they'll be like, "Is Brianna?" And I'm like, "Oh, me? You mean Breezia?" And like, "Oh yeah, yeah."
They've called you all many
they've
things.
They've called Brishaya. Brishaya a lot. Brisha is the most common
Brisha,
one.
Brisha.
I get Brian. Like, Brian? Brian? Just keep reading. Brianna.
There's an A at the end?
Yeah. The worst one is like...
Brian A?
Two weeks ago? Well, last week we went to Tennessee and I ordered a coffee and they put Bolina with a B. B-O-L-I-N-A. Bolina.
Instead of Paulina.
And I was like, really? Bolina? Like, that's what I was called all my life because I was chubby. Thanks for reminding me of my traumas right now.
Flashback.
So, Bree, you are a restaurant owner. You're also crazy, just like us. But see, like, we were born into it. You actually chose it. So let's talk about that. Let's introduce yourself first. How many kids do you have?
I have one son named Henry Santos Parsons.
How many people live in your home?
We have Henry, my husband, Taylor Parsons, and two dogs, Molly and Ralph.
Oh, cute.
I want to get a dog. Am I crazy?
You have two dogs?
I have two.
Did you get them? Is this post-baby, pre-baby?
Pre-baby.
Okay, that makes sense.
At one point, I had three, but we downsized to two.
After the baby?
Before the baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
I downsized to zero.
Yeah.
When I had my second child, I had a dog and I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
You are my child.
Probably smart. Sorry. It's a lot. Because they need attention too.
Oh, yes. 100%. Yeah. My husband was in this whole, I want a second dog train for about a month. And I told him, okay, here's the deal. I told him, you need to walk Diego every single day, Monday through Sunday, for at the very least 30 minutes every single day. The day you come back, the month that you do that, like on a row, 100% let's get a dog. Any dog you want. That's the deal.
That's a test.
And if you break a day, then you have to start from day one all over again.
She's tough.
Because if you get a new dog, that's what it's going to take. You need to give that new dog a lot of attention. You can't expect the new dog to come already trained like the dog I gave you, Diego. Like when you showed up into our life, he was already the perfect dog. But it took a lot of time to get this dog trained.
Yeah. My husband, a couple of weeks ago, was like, I think I want to get a shepherd puppy. And I was like, do you have 2 extra hours in your day that I don't know about? And I talked him out of it.
I can make you, I can give you something to do.
Because I can fill that real quick. Yeah.
You're like, 'cause if you do, I know exactly what you can do with that time.
I have a list.
But anyway, so a little bit more about yourself. How did you get started with Homestate? How did it all come about? What were you doing before?
And what
made you decide to start Homestate?
And well,
what is Homestate?
What is Homestate? Homestate is a very special place. Started in 2013. And it really was my effort to fill a void in my life and in the landscape of Los Angeles. And that void was Texas culture and food and hospitality. So when I moved out here in 2000, I had just graduated from college and this guy I was dating got a fellowship at UCLA. And I didn't really, we weren't like that. I wasn't that into him, but he was like, hey, do you want to move out to LA with me? And I was like, oh, sure, for sure. So I brought 2 suitcases, drove out.
From?
From Austin. I graduated from a liberal arts school called St. Edward's, just up the street from UT.
What did you study?
Business management.
Okay.
I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I figured I could probably use it for something. And I remember being so driven in school to like explore. Like I didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up and I wanted to know what it was going to be because I just felt so envious of people who were like, oh, I want to grow up and be this or that.
People that got their stuff together.
Yeah. People that just know, you know, there's not like a big question mark. Like what am I going to do with my life? I wanted to dedicate myself so wholeheartedly to something and I wanted to find that. So, you know, fast forward, come to LA. I really like it here, though it's really hard. I was really poor and didn't know. I was all alone. I was really used to having my family, especially my sisters. I'm a triplet. So I was so used to being close to my sisters and I didn't have them. And so, you know, it was just drifting. I drifted from that after 9/11 happened. I lost my job and I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I went to like work for some friends who had a court reporting, business. And that was like a few months. And I was interviewing for jobs at the time. I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend when my sister called me, Andy, who's our director of marketing and amazing. And she's sitting here. She said, hey, I'm moving to LA. I'm going to come out and pursue my career in music. She's worked in the music business for a really long time, for like 15 years. And so when she told me that, I told my boyfriend, I was like, we're going to have to break up. You're going to have to go.
So you're not going to be as necessary in my life anymore since I'm going to have a roommate.
I know. It's kind of hard, but I feel like a lot of people in LA stay in relationships longer than they should.
Yeah.
Because it's just economically sound. Mm-hmm. You can't do it on your own.
Or
you need a partner.
People get into relationships where they feel as if they need to move in together just to save on rent because, quote unquote, it doesn't make sense to have 2 different apartments. And it's no, girl, that is not an excuse.
Yeah. So thank God my sister came out. And then I said, you know, let's kind of hit reset. Life had been a little bit difficult to start in LA. I think it's hard for anyone coming into the city fresh, getting their footing and finding their community. And so I started interviewing for jobs. I ended up meeting what turned out to be my mother-in-law at a job that I was temping at a design showroom. And
she pimped out her son too?
No, definitely not. It was like she asked me to go work for her.
Oh, okay.
And she did interior design for, you know, Brentwood and beyond. And she's so talented. But I was like, what am I doing here? This is so weird. But then I met who's now my husband. This was like 15 years ago, y'all. It's like a very long time ago.
And then Taylor walked into the room and said, oh, that's why I'm here.
I said, that's why I'm here. I'm going to marry him. No kidding. I was yeah, I remember. Like, I was like, oh, this is my person for my life. Like, I'm going to have his children. It was just like an instant thing. And he was living in Spain at the time. He moved back. And anyway, long story short, I ended up leaving working for his mom, went to work as a massage therapist. I had been my calling. My older sister was sick. I had always wanted to help nurture people. I helped her. I was kind of like her. I took care of her while she was battling cancer for a year. And it drove me to really want to nurture people. I went into massage therapy and then I was going to go to study Chinese medicine because I really wanted to find a way to an avenue into nurturing people. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting really hurt as a massage therapist. It turns out as an acupuncturist told me I had no more chi in my body. So I couldn't walk for 3 months.
Wow.
I was on. And then when I finally got out, I was able to walk. I was on a cane for a long time. And it was a really crazy thought. I was so young at the time. I was probably like 26 or so. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? How am I ever going to have children? How am I going to like have a job? And it redirected my whole life. So I'm grateful for, you know, I always think back to hardships and challenging times for myself and for other people. Like those are guideposts for life. If you can, you know, look, it's hard in the moment for sure. And looking back on it, I definitely think of that moment as like a pivotal point. So I stopped doing massage therapy and I went to spa management at the same company I'd been working for, Burke Williams, which is a large spa chain in Southern California. And I went to spa management and I really enjoyed it. It really challenged me in different ways. And I learned how to, I learned a little bit of how to guide people, motivate people and hold people accountable. And then I kind of rose the ranks in that company. But the whole time across this whole journey of thinking to myself, like, where is the, where are the breakfast tacos in LA? And I would always go back and look, like, where is the food? I'd look, nothing. That's so weird. Maybe it's here somewhere. I just can't find it. And so it was really before like Yelp and, you know, internet as we know it, especially with food. So I just kept thinking about it, you know, as time went on and thought, you know, really this food, it did not have a presence. And I didn't realize growing up in Texas that what we identified as as Mexican food in Texas is actually completely different from what people think of as Mexican food here in California. So it was this like really crazy realization, like, oh my God, there isn't any Mexican food here. And it made me sad. It made me homesick. It made me also feel like frustrated that nobody had done it yet. And then I started thinking to myself, well, maybe I should do it. I remember talking to my husband one day. I was like, do you think I should try and do it? And he's so awesome. He was like, for sure. I think you should.
At this time, were you guys married? Or you were still dating?
We dated for 10 years before we got married. So we were just dating. And
so you've been married for 5?
I've been married for almost 5.
That's me. I dated my husband for 10 years. I got married 5.5 years ago too.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, we're
oh
going to be 16 years this year. Crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah, we hit 15 in December. So we're 15 and a half. It goes by really fast. And you grow up together. And you go, you kind of like you go through so many evolutions of yourself during that time. So, you know, thinking back to when we were having the first conversations about whether or not I should give it a go, I decided to leave my job. I wanted to leave my job to work in a restaurant to get experience. And he was like, go for it. Because I heard Thomas Keller was opening in Beverly Hills. And I had been to a few of his restaurants. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I'm ever going to learn about restaurants,
it's going to be from that man.
Let me go work for him, because I thought it was just an incredible opportunity. And I decided that, I remember the day I read that he was opening, that's the day that I decided to really go for it and pursue the dream of having this restaurant here. And I applied as a host because it really felt like the only position I could be qualified for working for somebody of that stature. And so I remember being really nervous to go to the interview, and it was at this big hotel. And I mean, I'd already had a career. Like I was probably 32 or 34 at the time. And I went to apply for, applied for a host and I got the job. And I remember sitting through the training. I still at that point had trouble walking and I couldn't really sit. And I couldn't sit either.
And you were applying for a hostess position, which requires a lot of walking.
And I was trying to hide it. And so I was like, I mean, struggling still with this like physical ailment. It was, I mean, really was a handicap. But I thought, I'm going to do this and I have to wear heels. Like it was a massive restaurant. But it was one of the, you know, really one of the most challenging jobs I've ever had. I was really out of my element. I took it really seriously. I just, this, the level of integrity to everything that happened in that restaurant was unlike anything I'd ever seen professionally or experienced personally. So I just soaked it all in. I was so, I remember my coworkers used to make fun of me. They're like, you know, no one makes sure that the entire restaurant is crumbless before we open like you do. I was like, I was like meticulous about it because I wanted to honor this legacy of, what, you know, Thomas Keller and his team set out to do.
Which, by the way, I feel anyone who's working in industry, that's what they should strive to be all the time when you're working for the service industry, because the name says it, it's a service industry. You're serving people all the time and you need to present your best foot forward. And maybe that's what really propelled you now as a business owner to really demand those things from your staff.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I think that experience, I always thought I would be there for 1 year and I was there for 4 years while I Wow. worked on the concept and developed the, you know, my budgets and financials. I mean, it's really teaching myself as I went. But along the way, I was working at Bouchon, and I really feel like that time, I refer to it as my restaurant university mm-hmm. because I just, I feel like that transferred over to my experience and the experience at Homestate directly. It was so impactful to what I wanted to carry over. And really, you know, the mission of, you know, coming from working in fine dining, my husband's also been in fine dining, working in fine dining for so long, over a decade. We know that access to that quality of experience and food comes at a very high ticket price, you know, yes. financial cost. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes at knowing the right people to get the right table at the right time, you know, a lot of that. But what Homestate aims to do, and it's part of its mission, is to bring access of experience and quality at that level into a really casual setting at a price point that most people can't afford. And, you know, really driven to balance the scales and give that access to more people. It was such a wonderful learning experience. I'm so thankful for it. And, you know, Thomas and his partner, Laura Cunningham, Laura especially became a huge mentor to me during my time there. And I think she may have convinced Thomas to invest, but he was one of my first investors.
Wow.
And I don't, you know, I really feel like they saw, like Laura especially saw how committed I was to making this restaurant a reality. I think they more bought into the fact that I was super passionate about it and I took every chance I could to meet with them. And they saw my level of dedication to my job in their restaurant and they were so supportive. And yeah, that's an incredible amazing. Experience.
Now, how did you move up in within Bouchon? Did you?
I never moved up.
Did you stay as a hostess for the
4 years? I stayed as a host the entire 4 years. And I'm so glad that I did because it really was a bird's eye view. I couldn't sink my teeth deep into the management part, but it kept me nimble enough to still develop the idea for Homestate, what came to be Homestate, mm-hmm. the menu. I was doing pop-ups. I was doing a lot of development. Anytime I wasn't working at Bouchon, I was working on the project. I said no to all fun things. I didn't do anything. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't travel. I tried to not go out. I just worked on this like a freak because I felt like I had a moment in time to make it happen and this was it. And so I didn't take opportunities to move up, but I really owned that position like it was my profession.
Right.
And also I think it probably helped you understand what a good manager looked like. Maybe not being a manager, but understanding what kind of support as a host you would need from your management, which I'm sure it had a lot to do with when you started Homestate.
Absolutely. I think perspective, like when you're leading an organization, perspective is so key because to understand how hard people's jobs can be, you're able to better support them. And if they say like, we really need X, Y, and Z, you're like, okay, like, oh my gosh, let's get it for you right away. Yeah. So instead of saying like, do you really, or questioning them or saying they're not working hard enough. Like you can see through those things a lot easier having gone through a lot of, you know, the nitty gritty of the different positions. That's why I felt like, you know, working in a restaurant, you fill your toolbox with solutions because you have to have them any given moment. You have, you know, it's either a leak in the roof or, the other day, like the margarita machine exploded and margaritas were like flowing like a river at 8 a.m. in the morning.
I'd be so down to be there.
Smelled amazing. And just, you know, you kind of become a little bit, it's hard to be phased yeah. because in restaurants, it's mm-hmm. always, it's like a calm before the storm, the storm or post storm. And you're always somewhere in there. And so you're just like, you know, get really, really comfortable with that. And I don't know, it kind of makes life a little bit easier too, because you can apply that to life and you never know. The hard times are not going to last forever. The good times aren't going to last forever. And you just kind of trying to be present, and as stressful as the restaurant business can be, you know, just trying to stay as present as possible, mm-hmm. and always can remind myself that it's a gift and it's a dream to have this opportunity. Right. So I'm having a great time.
No, you're not a chef and you never even had a business, right? When you launched Home Right. Homestead.
Yeah.
So we got into the why, but how did you even make that a reality? You know, there's so many people who right now probably like to cook, or at least or have some sort of chef experience that have it in their mind. I want to open a restaurant one day, or people who have a business, but they just love restaurants, say, you know, my next business is going to be a restaurant, but you didn't have either of those. You were neither a chef, nor did you have any experience in business other than school. But how did you get started? What was your first thing? How did that come about?
Trust me, the fact that I did not have any experience or was not a chef ran through my mind constantly, because I was like, what am I doing? This is insane. I mean, so knowing what the end goal was, like, I didn't just want to open a restaurant. I wanted to share the story of Texas mm-hmm. through food. So that was the end goal. And it was like a very clearly defined goal. So how we did it, you know, I knew that it was a very serious framework I wanted to stay within. Like, I wanted to showcase things that were very, like, you could only really find in Texas. And the most important thing for me was to share the flour tortilla. So the flour tortilla is well known and very prevalent in Texas, but in Southern California, we all know that corn tortillas are, you know, dominant, king, like, they are everywhere. So to showcase and highlight the flour tortilla was to showcase and highlight the culture and identity of Texas for me, and also our own family's story. Our family, we spent a lot of time at our grandmother's house, and she would make every meal with fresh flour tortillas. You know, she'd make the tortillas, get the food ready, feed everybody, then clean, then make the tortillas, feed everybody, and clean. So it was like this constant mm-hmm. cycle, but it was also this really like a warmth in her home always that came from that, and the sound of the rolling pin and the smell of the tortillas. And for me, it was really connecting to that lineage mm-hmm. and making sure that even though I'm not in Texas anymore, and of course my grandmother isn't here anymore, that those stories live on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how to cook. I'm like the worst cook. It's, the irony is so thick, but I do have a lot of respect for food, and I think I have a good palate, but, you know, to pull off a whole restaurant menu was, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed to start with a tortilla. So I got a recipe, and I talked to my mom, and I pulled in a photo of my grandma, Lala. I blasted the Tejano music in my kitchen, and I just started practicing them, how to make them, because I knew I needed to start there. And so channeling her and channeling that all those memories, like, it was a really important step in starting the food development side. And then, you know, of course, like, breakfast tacos are something that people love throughout Texas, but in LA had never heard of. Like, people in LA never heard of, and thought it was like such a crazy, a crazy concept to people, like, to have a breakfast taco. And in Austin, it's like, a breakfast taco is at the gas station, it's at every restaurant, and so is queso. So queso, I don't know if you guys know what queso is. So queso too is something like you find almost everywhere. And those things were so fundamental that I wanted to share. So really focusing, starting with those two things. It's very, very difficult to get like a queso dip without some kind of like
Velveeta. Is it kind of like the nacho cheese?
Yeah. Yeah. We call it queso. My license plate says queso. because to me, that's like one of those things that we are like bringing fresh to LA mm-hmm. that shockingly had not been done before. So anyway, I knew it was really important to get it right. I didn't get it right. We opened and it was terrible. And I was like, I'm going to be crucified by the Texans. Uh-huh. They're going to kill me, and they're never going to come back. And they think that they're going to think I don't know what I'm talking about. And so I ended up having bad queso for 2 years. It still took me 2 more years.
Stop, really?
Yeah.
How did that work? I mean, and to be just so like, I had bad queso for 2 years until I figured it out. And how was the...
It like makes me, I'm sweating right now.
How was the reaction from
the... I mean, the reviews were terrible. It was really bad.
How did you handle that? I mean, I still struggle with, you know, I struggle with Yelp. I struggle with, you know, some reviews because some, you know, that are, okay, shoot, I really have to work on this. Okay, like emergency meeting, let's figure this out. You're giving extra chips. Okay, you know? But when you... And some are just really plain old, you need to have some... You have issues clearly in your life you have to deal with, but don't lash them out on my poor business. Like I have no... You know,
or some people don't even know the food and they think they know. They think they have this idea of the food, that what it should taste like, but they don't
absolutely
really know.
Well, for me, I think it's so personal.
So
and
how
I decided
did you deal with those for
I just
2 years?
Like pretty early. Well, those were really rough. I try not to read often. Actually, Andy would read a lot at times. So she would kind of like be the like
Andy
filter
has
for
face
me.
Of just like.
She would be the filter a lot of times, like, because it would send me into such a dark place and just despair and feeling like everything was lost and I just had no business doing what I was doing. But then I just told myself, like, okay, Homestead is a story very specific, very personal. You know, I talked about my grandmother and our family, like the migas on the dish, and like my mom made those. And I just thought, you know, this is my version of what we're doing. I'm not saying it's the only or we invented it or this is definitive.
It's your family's
recipe.
It's
just very personal. Right. Yeah, it's my family. So I had to get really, really committed to that. And then after that, I kind of felt okay. Yeah. Of course, we're always striving for our best and things do happen on those reviews and you can
your
learn from.
Your kiss was pretty dope, I will say. I had it Sunday with my son.
Thank you.
We dove deep into that.
I gotta try it. I love nachos, so maybe. I mean, I really do. I really, really, really do. So I'm thinking I really want to go in and try that queso.
Yeah. So I 2 years into having bad queso, I finally figured it out, and it was like,
is it also with chips?
What's that?
Is it with chips?
Yeah, we serve it with chips. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we finally figured it out, and it was like, I mean, just the most rewarding moment.
Well, actually, this is a really good question I want to ask. Okay, so for those who are listening who don't know what queso is, let's actually like talk about the origins of queso. If you know, like, what is queso? Because my sister's still trying to figure it out.
Is it like nachos?
And I just realized, like, not everybody knows what queso is. Just like not everybody knows what mole is. Not everybody knows what clayudas are.
Or is it like queso fundido? You know, like queso
fundido.
Yeah,
good question. So queso, of course, you're like, okay, it's just cheese. Well, it is cheese, but in Texas, we traditionally serve melted cheese in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's eaten like a dip, like a guac. Like a guacamole or a salsa, but it is melted cheese.
And it's warm.
It should be warm. And it traditionally it has different spices in it. We have serranos and jalapenos and onions, cumin, tomatoes. We have a lot of ingredients in a cilantro in our queso at Homestead. And that's what gives it its flavor and depth. And everybody does it different. In Austin, you can find like 100 different quesos. Some are like really like the most beloved, and others, you know, like they're just okay. But there's a big range. Some people do white cheese, some people do yellow cheese. But it's always like a melted dip that you eat with chips, and it's something like very addictive. And you can just like forget how many chips and queso you've eaten. But it's, you know, it's a kind of communal experience. So it's really like very definitive, like Texas thing.
Right, it's like chips and salsa.
So then you had one restaurant, which was in a Silver Lake area, in Los Angeles?
It's East Hollywood, technically. East Hollywood. Yeah.
And how did you decide to open a second location and now you're expanding? And through that journey, how has your team expanded? How have you dealt as a leader? What have you learned through that process of expansion?
Well, I was just thinking about this morning, actually. I remember asking a fellow operator of a popular coffee shop here who was expanding a few years ago. I said, how do you do it? You know, I only have one and I'm so stressed. I'm so busy. And he said, well, it actually gets a little bit easier when you grow, because then when you grow, you have a team and you don't have to do absolutely everything. And so it didn't really sink in, of course, at the time, because I'd never experienced that. But now, in the last 6 months, we've built, you know, what looks like a really great team. And it's amazing. You know, everybody's working full force on what they're doing. And then we come together and we collaborate. And I think that surrounding myself with people that I just naturally love. I mean, everybody says don't work with your family, but there's no one else who could do the job as well as my sister, Andy. And she does it with such an authentic voice and with such, you know, creativity, but always staying very committed to who we are, why we're doing it, and infusing that with a lot of fun. But, you know, expanding, why did we decide to go into the second location? I was shown a really great spot. I mean, with the time, it was like very dirty and old and rugged, but I felt something when I went to that location. I felt like it was the right second place for us if we were going to expand. And I always felt, even before the first one, when I was working on the concept, I felt that if we could prove that people liked it and we could make it good enough to where it wasn't just something that Texans came out for, but it was something that we could get a lot of people to get excited about and trust, that there was a lot of potential to tell the story on a broader level, you know, deep down, knowing the potential is massive, but also knowing I've seen so many businesses that kind of grow fast mm-hmm. and trip over themselves in the process. Yeah. And I always say that, like, I just don't want to burn down the building to build the third and fourth story. Like, I need to keep building one floor at a time and very
I feel you,
committed 100%. To that. So, I mean, as a leader, of course, as my role has changed, sometimes I feel like bad that I don't work 7 days a week, that I'm not working opening and closing anymore because I am a mom and I have to leave it, you know, no matter what is going on. You know, it could be like the craziest day and 4 p.m. hits and I have to walk out. I have to like pack my bag and walk out. And then I'm racing to pick up my son. So, and then I have to totally transition my mind and my pace, my rhythm to meet him. And it's a gift. I didn't think that I'd be able to have kids and work. I thought when I was younger, I thought I would have to choose. Mm-hmm. I could have a career or I could be a mom. And be, you know, that would be, I remember thinking like, why would I want to have a kid if I couldn't be there every day with a kid? Like, what's the point? But I understand like how both can be so rewarding and how, and this really surprised me that having my son helped the business grow and grow up.
Isn't that crazy?
Made me grow up. It made the business grow up because I couldn't manage every day.
Yeah.
And I had to hire a manager and then, you know, it just continued to grow from there. So if I wouldn't have gotten pregnant 3 months after the restaurant opened, which really wasn't the plan. But, you know, if that wouldn't have happened, maybe I would still be in there every day managing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right. I agree. Now, I know that you were talking about how important mentorship was to you and how mentorship really helped you and shaped you and, you know, growing your business. How has it shaped your life as a business owner? And I know you do a lot of mentorship as well, but what do you look for or what do you love the most about mentoring and what have you gained the most about having mentors in your life?
Well, I think what I gain not only from having mentors, but from mentoring is staying really humble and staying really connected to the struggle, like no matter where you are. I mean, my mentors have their own struggles and they're always navigating through new issues. And I think understanding the fact that we're all at different points in our journeys and we all struggle, I think it's really important. So instead of looking at your mentors as people who don't have any issues, knowing that we just learn how to deal with them better. And, you know, from mentoring for me, I really try and always make time for it because I know how valuable it was to me. And if I can give that time back to somebody and have any impact and keep them on their path, keep them motivated, it's just the most rewarding thing. And I'll never forget walking into some of my mentor meetings. One of my mentors was the founder of PF Chang's, Paul. And I remember walking into those meetings, like with my white crisp shirt on, like just sick to my stomach, so nervous, feeling like this was my chance to prove myself, to prove this idea. And this was my one moment in time. And so I met with somebody the other day who was really nervous and brought me like fresh baked granola that she made. And she was like, I mean, it was for me, like that was like the first time I'd ever seen that across the table from me. And it was, I gave her, I mean, I think she like had to go, but I was still talking because I just wanted to make sure I just did. Yeah. I gave her everything I could.
Yeah. Like, did I answer your question? Yeah. Are you happy with
Are you
my-
sure you have to go back to work?
It is very important to pass on the knowledge and just be open about it. Cause I think when you give, when you open yourself and give, you receive much more than if you just guard everything. I've been doing a lot of Bible reading lately, but it's like, you know, with the gifts that, you know, he, I don't remember exactly what the passage is, but, I read it in Spanish, so bear with me. He gave gifts to everybody and then he left and he came back. And the one person that held on to them and didn't do anything with them because he was afraid to lose them was the one that he got, he came and took everything and said, no, I gave you these gifts so you can grow them. And that means that you have to open up and give and, you know, give some of yourself and teach. And I think it's important. It's important as women. I think it's important as minorities because, or before us, it wasn't the rule. It wasn't the norm. Everybody was just like fighting from themselves and, oh, I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to teach you because I'm going to take from you. But I feel like now, sharing your knowledge, it just helps me feel better and growing, and also acknowledging that I am able to give back some of what I've learned along the way, right? It's
yeah, and you know, we talk about mentorship as outside of our organization, yes. And I often think of it as that, but I think mentorship can happen within the organization, mm-hmm. and approaching your team in a caring and loving way, and that they're, you know, some of the managers are just starting out and they aren't intentionally doing wrong, but they need help too to develop and grow. And, you know, it's not always like, what did you did this and this wrong, but like, how can we mentor improve within and make sure that we're supporting, you know, healthy relationships yeah. to work, healthy relationships to life, because, you know, life and our work and our personal lives intertwine yes. so much. And if you so can much. Love your work, when you go to work, you can overall like have a better, you know, happier life. When you take a great amount of pride in your work, you feel better at the end of the day. You know that you're not just cruising down the road. You're not just like every other restaurant. You're better. Mm-hmm. We in taking that pride with you can carry throughout the rest of your life and your days.
Yeah.
What has been some of the best advice you've gotten from your mentors? I mean, like Thomas Keller is, I mean, I wish I knew Thomas Keller and he was my mentor, but some of the best advice you've gotten from some of these people you've met throughout your career that have really impacted you and have shaped who you are today.
I remember, we all know who Nancy Silverton is, right?
I mean, mm-hmm. hello.
Yeah. So I remember talking to her early on and I said, I didn't want to tell her that I was working on this business because my husband used to work for her. So that's how I know her. And she's become a pretty good friend. And my husband told her, like, Brianna's working on this concept. You should tell her about it. And I was like, at that time, I remember being like very shy and almost embarrassed to tell people this idea, especially people in the culinary world at that level, because it felt like, who am I to...
Like a little imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Like major imposter syndrome.
Major. And so she said, oh my gosh, I was just in Texas and at the Super Bowl thing with Daniel Ballud, and we had the best food I've ever had in my life. It was this thing called a Frito pie. And I said, oh my gosh, that's actually on my menu that I'm working on. She's like, oh my gosh. I said, I've been trying to figure out how to serve it. Should I serve it in like a cast iron thing or should I serve it like this? And she like... basically grabbed me by the shirt collar and she said, you serve that in a bag because that's how it's traditionally served. She said, why would you do it any other way? This is how it's done. This is amazing. And in that way, she's telling me, just be true to yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, if that's how it's done, why do you need to do it any other way? Like, mm-hmm. be real. And it was really, it drove a point home to me that I carry throughout, you know, what everything that we do. And when people make their assumptions about, oh, Homestate is a hipster place or Homestate is like a, what, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
They don't know who I am. They don't know where I've come from. And I think it's just really important to always be authentic so that no matter what comes out you deep down, like, you know that you're being true to yourself.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
And do you, in the middle of all of this, how do you keep sane? How do you, well, a couple of questions. Number one, do you have any tricks on managing schedules? I know that you have to pick up your son from school every day at a certain time, but you will be running three restaurants, and I know you're launching your catering business and you have, you know, a lot of employees to take care of. So many, many children running around and ideas in your brain and projects that you have. How do you, organize yourself on a weekly basis, daily basis, or how do you keep all your life organized? Because you also have a husband who also needs to be tend to, right? I always kid with my friends, like, yeah, we have to do that. And then on top of that, we have to come home and pretend everything is great and smile and just be these like wonderful women to our husband so they don't feel our stress too, right? So do you have any like hacks that you have or any sort of tips you can share with us, and or how do you do?
Well,
how do you do life
with my work? Whenever I've tried to set like hard parameters, like on this day I'm going to do this, and on that day I'm going to do that, it never works.
I know,
never.
So I kind of like let that go, and I try and start like schedule most of my meetings early in the day. I've also recently tried to start my workouts at 5:30, so by 6:30. 7 after shower, I'm done and I'm ready to start work. So I can start my work day earlier and I have energy and I've had time for me and I feel stronger, and that's helped me a lot.
And do you and your husband share, like he does drop offs and you do pickups, or how?
Yeah, I was going to say that my next big credit is to him, because he at home, like he does almost all of our food prep, our cooking. He makes breakfast for our son. He packs his lunch, and then if he's not home to cook dinner, because he works a lot of nights and he still consults in the restaurant business, so he'll like tell me what to make. So I'm not like thinking at when I'm like at 4 o'clock, like, oh no, what am I going to make for dinner? He's usually already told me, like, hey, I have some fish, some cod marinating in the fridge for you. You're going to put it in the oven at 400 degrees. So he'll tell me. And so, I mean, I don't, sometimes
they're side-eyeing you from the corner. And I think that's every woman listening right now. All our heads are going from side to side. Like,
Yeah. Like, I don't even know, like, sometimes what Henry, my son, is eating for lunch. I just ask him, like, what did daddy pack you today? And it's a beautiful lunch. My husband really loves food and prioritizes it for us. So, I'm really lucky to have that. It takes a lot of stress off of me. And I think a lot of women have that, you know, they play that role in the house to provide the food, to cook the food, to stock the fridge.
Plus everything else.
Yeah. And so I feel like that part of my life is a huge boost from my husband. I'm very grateful. And I try and remind him of that every day. And then also just having some routine, like that we don't compromise on. Like every Sunday morning we go to the farmer's market as a family. That's just what we do, and we look forward to it. And we know like no one's going to schedule anything else during that time. And then afterwards we go to our favorite butcher and we go see them. And we usually go get tacos before at home state. And then we go to butcher, and then we put away our groceries. We set everything up for the week. And that's like our time. So having those bookends where you can look forward to, and just having some routine when everything else feels super crazy in the middle, and knowing that at the end of the week, you're going to have some routine together. Right.
Yeah.
That really helps me out too.
And do you practice self-care or do something to kind of keep your mind sane?
I feel like for me, exercise is the one that I feel like makes the biggest difference in my life.
But
when
you
have
to leave like super early, right? You were saying?
Yeah. I mean, I found that if I don't, there's one place I found that has a 5:30 class. Wow. And you're not going to believe it, but it's actually hard to get into because it's always booked. You have to book the day before at least. And sometimes if I don't book soon enough, it's packed every time. And the first time I went, I came out after like doing the workout and showering, and came out and it was still dark outside. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I have the whole day ahead of me.
You feel so accomplished.
It's like spinning.
It's spinning, but on a treadmill. Yeah. So you do interval training and like uphill, like hills. But then you also do like a lot of strength training. Like you'll get off the treadmill and do like a bunch of burpees or, you know, kettlebells and stuff like that. So it's fun. Yeah. It's not boring. It goes by really fast too.
One last question before I move to our Super Mom Picker Tip of the Week. But what is the one thing that you told yourself that you would never do as a mom, but now you do all the time?
I never thought I'd have a nanny.
You
I never thought I'd have a nanny.
People that we've asked to, it's like help. I never thought I would get help.
I never did. I remember saying, like, you're why like have a child? That says that. Why yeah. have a child if I'm going to hire somebody to take care of them? I just didn't. I didn't understand the concept. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I never thought I would pay somebody to take care of my child.
That's so funny.
And now, well, yeah. Well, now he goes to school, but, you know, for three years, he had a nanny.
It's such a taboo. I don't know why it's such a problem for us moms to accept that we need help.
It feels real bougie to me.
And I think even more when you're Latina. Like
more when you're Latina.
I think that once you're not as a woman, but I think as a Latina mom, as a Latina mother, you feel, well, if my mom handled 5 children,
yep.
and if my grandmother handled 15 kids, and then you have your actual mom telling you, well, pues, I don't know, when I was rich, I didn't really have this, or it would be nice to have had something to somebody to wash my clothes when I was, you know. So I think, like, on top of all of that, you grew up with this woman who had this just astronomical gifts of just
keeping it together.
Labor.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
She didn't have anyone to scrub, like, scrub the toilets. Tubs or the toilets. Yeah. Like, oh my.
Laundry.
You
know, we're very open here in the show about all the help that my sister and I get. Like, I don't do my own laundry. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just such a huge help. I never even do my bed now. I used to be on the whole, like, I'm going to do my bed every single day. No. I come home to a dirty bed every day. And, like, once a week, it's, like, nice and clean.
That's one thing I do every day. Every bed is made every day.
I remember my best friend told me, I used to not do my bed, and she's like, girl, you gotta do your bed. If you do your bed, you can accomplish anything in the day. And I was like, okay. So that whenever I'm like, I have to do my bed. If hey, not, girl, I won't be able to do it.
I accomplish a lot and I don't do my bed.
Yeah, that's one thing my husband and I both feel very committed to. Like, if the bed's not made, there's something wrong.
Which is, you know, which is actually, it's not that common. I had some guests come over my house 2 days ago or something, and we were walking and we took them to the backyard, and she was like, I have to tell you something. I go to a lot of houses, and this house is, like, by far one of the cleanest. I said, really? She was like, people don't do their beds. Like, that's a lot of people don't do their beds. And I'm like, really?
Me. Do you? Okay, yeah. 1 out of 4 people don't do their beds. There, it's right here in this room.
But, you know, she told me that. I was like, that's so weird. I feel, you know.
It does make me feel like I've got my shit together.
It's just like when I come home and the bed is not made.
No, it doesn't make, I mean, to me.
But to everyone's different.
Everyone's different. And you guys are guilty me into it.
Don't do your bed. You don't have
to do it. Get your shit together. Do your fucking bed. All right, let's take a break and come back.
Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show. Go for it. We're back with Super Mama Pick and Tip of the Week, and I will start doing my bed, apparently.
With your husband.
With my husband. Maybe that can be, you know, maybe I can see it more of
it's romantic.
You know, I used to be that person that would do my bed every single day and was like, yeah, you can accomplish your bed, you can accomplish anything. And then I was like, you know, I'd rather go in the next bedroom and exercise and meditate and do all this shit because then, like, not have my bed be one of those other things I have to do, and just gave it up. But maybe me and my husband can be that thing that when we do the bed, we can have a conversation about. Maybe what I'm going to do is I'm like, let's talk about 10 things we love about each other after we do our bed every morning to remind ourselves while we're still here.
True that.
So we're going to pick our tip of the week. Breezy, what are you loving right now? What do you want to share with the world? Is there like a hair product, beauty product, a book, an app, a podcast, a show, a movie, anything that you're loving right now? What are you into?
Friends.
You're into Friends. Show.
Yes.
Oh, you're into Friends.
It's like my perfect. No, I know. I want to make more perfect time for real Friends.
Yeah.
But because I don't have a lot of time, I just watch the Friends.
That's because you're spending all your time doing Netflix. Your bed, girl.
Yeah. It doesn't take that long.
No,
it
is.
No, sometimes, like, after a really crazy day, I don't want to watch a documentary. I don't want to watch anything else. I just want to hang out with friends because I'm like 2 minutes in, I'm laughing, even though I'm doing the dishes. I'm like, you know, kind of getting through my chores, folding clothes or whatever. And
it gets old.
It It doesn't.
I can watch that.
It does not. Yeah. My sister and I, we die. We can't even, like, it's so funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It is pretty good.
And
it is
so good. That kind of helps keep me sane. I've been getting a lot of compliments on my skin lately.
You, yes. I saw, last time I saw you at that brunch, I was like, girl, your skin.
Thank you. So my trick is to not wash your face at night.
To what? Not wash it?
I swear.
That's against everything my sister believes on.
In I know. I do not wash my face at night because I'm so lazy
not
and tired.
Not doing my bed anymore.
I'm just get tired. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is like splash water on my face. I shower in the morning. So I'm like, why don't I just... I'm just going to go to bed. So I've been in this really bad habit for a while and I keep getting compliments on my skin. But I think my secret weapon is actually this product that I'm using called Exfolicate. And it's this like seaweed exfoliator. So I may have like some leftover makeup buildup, but that Exfolicate sweeps in helps me out. I do want to shower. Yeah.
Exfolicate.
Oh, great play on words. It's a little expensive, but I feel like if it can keep my skin looking younger for longer and
all
cleaner,
about it. Whatever it is, yeah. I'll sign me up.
It came in like a swag bag for that Create and Cultivate thing that we did, and I got it and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I went to replace it, and I was like, it's kind of expensive, but I had to do it, so they got me.
Swag bags work.
They do work.
I had a lot of great things out of that swag bag too, by the way, that I still use.
Yeah.
So that was a great
one.
I know you do a couple. I did the one that we ran into each other.
Yeah.
And I have gotten a couple of products from that same bag that are great.
Yeah. They did a good job.
they do a great job, those girls.
So Friends and Exfoliate is what I got.
Nice. Awesome. So I have a pick, tip, trick situation that I've been doing lately. As I was ending my year doing sort of a recap of all my expenses and just going through closing out the year and looking at all the statements and consolidating, I realized how much money I actually spent on Sephora. So I told myself, I looked myself in the mirror like in a very serious way and was like, get your shit together. Like, what is wrong with you? So... you know, I was just going through, okay, what, like, editing process of what I really need, what I don't need. And I used to spend a lot of money on lotions, like just lotions for your body. You know, I used to buy this one called Bum Bum Cream, which I love, smells so good, but it was also like $40. You know? And then the other, just so many different oils and beautiful things that you buy that smell so good, but they're really expensive, you know, but it feels like luxurious.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I want to.
What I have
one.
Been doing is, I used to love Eucerin for a very long time. Just like you get it at Target or CVS. Just
that's the one I use.
Yeah, Eucerin is so great.
I'm on a Eucerin budget.
Okay. Yes. So
I have three kids. Are you kidding me?
So wait, hold on. So what I do is it doesn't have a smell. Eucerin just feels good on your skin, hydrates you.
I've never used that.
It does the job in a very great way. It's a perfect moisturizer. You don't need to go fancy. No. But if you still want to feel luxurious, what I did is I get my Eucerin and I spray three sprays of perfume on it. Then I rub it against my hands and I put it in my body and it feels like a luxury.
Or
a luxury
lotion
because it smells so good and then and you get the that smell of your perfume. You layer that on and then you spray your perfume so you have double layers and you come out smelling really good, feeling like you put on some expensive ass perfume. And I realized I could buy my perfume lotion, which is probably $80, or I can buy Eucerin, spray some perfume on, rub it on my hands, and it's pretty much the same thing.
Or you can add essential oils on it.
Right. Yes.
That's what I do too. Because I don't know what happened.
But if you put your perfume as a luxury thing, like perfume, like lotion.
Yeah.
They're so expensive.
That's genius.
They're so expensive. And then I realized, wait a minute.
Anything that has perfume and it dries my skin so bad. So I don't use any of that.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying that if anyone's out there looking at their budgets, Eucerin.
Solid tip.
That's what I do. And now what I'm doing, instead of perfume, I actually use essential oils because I don't know why. I have no idea why. For Christmas, my husband got me a perfume and I put it on. And I was like, ew, it smells so bad. So I honestly was like, honey, like, do you mind if I change it? And he was like, no, let's go. So I went and I changed it. I chose one that I liked. And I got home and I put it on me and I was like, ew. So it's not the perfume, it's me. You know, like, there's some people that just don't go with perfumes. So what I'm doing now is I actually do my own perfume with oil, but like essential oils, and I put it on and I can create my own concoction. I do my own and it lasts longer and it smells nicer, and I don't spend money on perfumes. Maybe that should be my tip too.
That's a good one.
You can make your own oil
or luxurious. I think I just gonna put in like a very fancy bottle. I'm just gonna buy like an empty bottle, put it on there, and just put a spray on it, and you know, whip it up myself and just put it in my shelf so it can look cute, not like a userin.
Yeah, that bottle is not cute.
Just like a userin bottle.
It's not cute, but
it just ruins the way my beauty counter looks.
Yeah.
I'm also saving $50 a month.
Yeah, and then you know, there's a lot of eczema, and my kids have eczema. My husband has psoriasis, and now apparently I have skin issues too. So Eucerin, they have different ones, and they have like the extra rich. That's the one we use, and so it's a good one. Eucerin is really good for the skin.
I know, I like Eucerin. I used to use it all the time, and then I got fancy, but then I not fancy no more.
And then you know what I also use? My baby's lotion. That makes me smell nice. It makes me feel like baby. Yeah.
Anyway, Paulina, was that your pick?
Sure.
Potions.
Do your own potions. Just mix and match essential oils and all that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. So fun.
Where can girls find you? How can we get to your restaurant? Where can we stalk you? Tell us everything. I want to
go
try that queso.
Where
can we get your queso?
We're on Instagram at Home State, and I'm Hello It's Breezy on Instagram, and we have a location in East Hollywood. Across the street is Los Feliz. So Hollywood Los Feliz is our first location. We have extended hours. We always close at 3. We're going to be opening at 10 p.m. So that's very exciting. The other location is in Highland Park. We have great margaritas there, frozen palomas, frozen margaritas, a beautiful patio. It's such a fun place to be. And then the new one is opening in a few weeks in Playa Vista.
Are you excited? Oh, that's ready?
Super to me. Excited.
That's closer to me.
Yeah, it's been in the works for like over 2 years. Nice. So the fact that it's happening is a bit surreal. But we're ready. We're very excited to meet our new community.
Oh, amazing. Thank I feel you like so
everything,
much for coming.
Everything new is opening back on this side, like Boyle Heights, Highland Park. I'm like, when are they going to come to that side of the town?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hear that a lot.
Thank you. You're welcome. We'll be there.
With queso in hand.
I'm going to go try that queso for sure.
We got you. You're welcome. Come back. Thank you.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on superromas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter also at _supermamas and in the face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love. And
see you next week, Super Mamas!